this morning, I think it'd be more of a, I guess, teaching more than, I think it's a message just to give you something to think about this morning. The topic, I'll be coming from the scripture, Genesis, the 11th chapter, and for a subject, I'm going to use When a Nation Leaves God. Scripture is coming from Genesis chapter 11. It is a story that we all are familiar with. It's the story of the Tower of Babel. It is where men decided to declare a declaration of independence from Almighty God. Genesis 1:1 says, "Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words." In other words, everyone was speaking the same thing. They had a common confession of agreement. So the whole earth was on the same page, so to speak. And in verse 2, it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. So we say they went east. Now you have to understand something, that to go east up to this point in Scripture meant to go away from God. And it started with Cain. Cain rebelled against God, and he said that he went east from Eden. He wanted to get as far away from God as he could. So we have the then known world on the same page, all of them wanting to leave God. In other words, they wanted to be one nation away from God and one nation rather than one nation under God. That was the whole world thinking, the whole world's feeling, and everybody communicated this way. So in verse 3, they came up with a plan. They said to one another, "Come, let us." You like that? "Come, let us mix bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick and stone, and they used tar for mortar. So let us. So the world in the technology of that day used bricks and stone and tar for mortar. We will come up with a construction process for civilization, and we don't need God. Let's go over here east and do it ourselves. This is nation building right here. This is actually the first nation building. It is also true when people build their own individual lives and say, "I have enough intelligence, enough smarts to do it myself. I can do this all on my own. And I'm good enough, rich enough, connected enough. Let me do this. Let us do this." This is the whole world thinking this way. They wanted to pursue peace, unity, and prosperity apart from God, using the technology of that time. They wanted to do three things. First, in verse 4, it says, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city." So the first thing that they wanted to do was to build a city. They were in the land of Shinar, but they wanted to build a city. We call it, let's call it today, a capital. That is at the centerpiece of the organization of culture. So they wanted to create a, let's say, Washington, D.C. But let's not forget, we need religion to make it look good. So we need some religion. But we don't want real righteousness. But we want to give the impression that there is a God related to this. So in the city, let's build our tower. So the second thing they wanted to do was to build a tower. We would call it a steeple. I know that this is a religious symbol because he said, "Stretch the tower to the heavens." So we want to build civilization for man, but in the middle of the city, in the middle of our capital city, we are going to build a tower, and it's going to be bad because it's going to reach heaven. In other words, I won't be that heaven will come down to us, but we are going up to heaven. But we are going to keep enough God in the vicinity through the tower that it will legitimize the city that is operating society. So there will be enough God's presence to give the impression of God without his reality. Almost everything operates this way. Countries operate this way. Churches operate this way. Families operate this way. And individuals operate this way. They want to construct their own lives separate, apart from God. But they want his name in the vicinity. Number three, they said that they wanted to make a name for themselves. Everybody wants a name. But why do they want their own name? That is because they do not want to be known by God's name. Remember, they had gone east. They don't want to be identified with God, but they want a religious symbol so it would look like they are identified with God. But we are not building a name for him. We are building a name for us. This is what they were talking. They wanted to create their own name because they wanted to be their own authority. And they did not want to answer to a high being. The only way to not answer to God is to become a God yourself. There is only one way not to answer to God, and that is you must give yourself a God name. So you walk around saying, I know the truth. They wanted their own significance. They wanted their own value statement. They didn't want to be seen as being overruled or regulated by God. Like Satan, they said, I will establish my own kingdom. I don't like Lucifer anymore. I want my own name. So in verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Let's take a look, take a look, and let's take a look. I said it three times. That's because God comes down, and when God comes down, the Lord said, behold, in verse 6, he says, they are one people, and they will all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. That's why we talk about being on one accord as God builds this church. And in verse 7, come, let us go down. Take a look, take a look, take a look. You all remember they said, let us build the city. Let us build a tower. They said, let us build a name. And God says, let us, since we're going to be using let us. So God says, we're going to use let us. And God says, let us, since we're using that. They got together on their own plan. It was God the Father, the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us get together on our plan. So why don't we have all of these little committee meetings and go down and check this thing out together? They came down and they checked out the big city and the awesome tower. And they said, what man was doing? They saw what man was doing. They didn't check it out because they didn't know what man was doing. He is God. And they checked it out to handle what was going on. He said, now we got to do something about this plan. In other words, hanging there with me for a little while, and I'm going somewhere with this. But we have got to do something with this plan, with all this technology of and all this information and all this college education, should that be education? These are some smart people. They done built cities now. They built towers, and they have it going on. And we have to check this thing out. We must address this, and why must we address it? One of the most confusing statements in the Bible we must address is because he says it, if we don't, the end of verse 6 explains it and says, and this is what they began to do. And you know why they had to address it? Because nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. God said, if we don't do something, they will be unstoppable. Amen. The question, why would God say we won't be able to stop them? Because he says that nothing that they plan to do will be stopped. Amen. Let me take you back a little bit. When God created man, he said three words, and those three words forever changed history. He created man, male and female. He created them. Then he uttered three words in Genesis 1. He says, let them rule. In other words, we are going to allow them to choose. We are going to give them the freedom of the consequences of their choices. We are going to let them rule. We are going to let them determine their decisions and receive the consequences of their choices. That is why God didn't interfere with Adam and Eve eating from the fruit, eating up the fruit, because he said, let them rule. Everybody wants to be free. We're going to give them freedom, it says. Let them rule. So here is how it is going to work. I am going to plant all these trees in the garden. And he tells Adam, of all these trees in the garden, you may freely eat. Didn't he say so? Freedom is not a man-made concept. Freedom is a God concept. So everywhere, everywhere a tree was planted in the garden, he was freely to eat. And you are to freely eat of it, all of it. Except there is one tree in the midst of the garden, and it is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It is the information tree. It is the tree that just doesn't give you information about the good stuff. It gives you also information about the bad stuff. Hallelujah. It is the good stuff in it and the bad stuff in it. And I tell you, don't eat of it. Now, here is how freedom works. There should be maximum freedom and limited regulations, because there is only one tree in the garden that they couldn't eat of. He didn't over-regulate the garden. It was a very limited regulations. I'm going to give you the instructions, he said. You can enjoy the freedom of my garden, but don't mess with the tree in the middle of the garden. Now, this other tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of life, you can eat of that. But the tree of the information tree, the educated tree, I'm going to call it precursor to the Google tree. It's everything that we want to know, bad and good. All we had to do is Google it up. This was the first Google tree. Don't eat of that tree. Because if you do, there is going to be a consequence. And that consequence is you're going to die. But God didn't stop them from eating the tree. He just told them about the consequences about the tree, but he gave the information, the freedom to rule. He says, let them rule. So when God says in verse 6, if we leave them alone, nothing that has been purposed will stop. That, what he's mean is the devil, evil. He's talking about the evil. He said, once they eat of that tree and learn of evil, evil will be unstoppable. Evil will just grow and grow and get worse and worse because they insist on ruling apart from me. So from keeping evil from being as evil will become, If we don't stop the evil from becoming what evil will become, if all of them get together and spread evil, then we are going to have to intervene in this situation. That's why when people are sinning and you're sinning, your life is in turmoil because of sin, that's why the Lord lets you go for a while, but he says it's getting worse and worse. That's why he comes down and intervenes. So here's the question. We must face individually, as a family, as a church, as a society, we will live by reason or revelation. Will you live by what God said or what the information tree tells you? Will you live by what everybody else thinks or by what God declares, what saith the Lord? What will you live by? Because you will bear the consequences of that choice. And enough of us have been here and lived long enough to know God is right. We found out after the fact, because he made the choice, got the consequence. Regret he made the choice because God was right, as he always is. So they came down, God, Son, Father, and the Holy Spirit came down, because here is the principle. Once you decide to not be ruled by God, you will wind up being ruled by someone who imitates God. Even if that somebody is you. And once you have enough imitating God in your life, you have an idol. You need a tree to be an idol. All you need is a brain. You don't need a tree. You need a brain, you can conjure up your idol. So they wanted independence. And in verse 7, it says, come, let us go down there and confuse their language so they will not understand one another's speech. If you have been listening to the news, and I'm quite sure you have, you will hear how Congress can't get together on anything, and how everybody is talking and no one is making sense, and nobody has an answer for anything. Don't you get the impression that by listening at the news, there's a lot of confusion? The problem, we think, that the confusion is coming from the people. But I beg you to differ. Now, if you read the above verse, it says, let's go down and confuse their language. I'm reading from the American Standard. I don't know what that one says. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, the same thing. I think that the confusion we have in D.C., Washington, our capital, the confusion that we hear talk of going on in churches, the confusion in your families, the confusion in your own mind, is God is confusing you. So listen at this. If God is creating confusion, I don't care what other person you go and talk to, if God is creating the confusion, I don't care what party you are a part of. If God is creating the confusion, I don't care who you elect. All he is going to do is confuse the new folks that's coming in. Why? Because God is causing the confusion. The confusion exists because the independence existed. Confusion exists, independence exists, and the further east you go away from God, the more independence you insist on, the more confusion you will have. And verse 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. It says that he scattered them. That phrase is important because in chapter 9 of Genesis, in verse 1, he told them to spread out and fill the earth. You remember the three sons of Noah, it was Shem, Japheth, and Ham? He says, I want you all to go out and populate the earth. That is to fill the earth with the image of God. See, we are made in God's image. He told them to go out and multiply, fill the earth. We don't like that, they said. We're not going to do that. We are going east and come together and not fill the earth. We're going to come together as one people in one place, and we're going to do earth from there. I don't like what God said. This is how the people were thinking. So God, you stay here, and we're going east to do our own thing. God says, wait a minute. I told you all to scatter. God, we told you we ain't going to do that. We're going to do our own thing. We ain't using, this is not good English, but they were stupid people. We ain't using your name. We're going to build a city, a tower, and we're going to build our own name. God said, I told you to scatter. God gives you chance after chance after chance after chance to do right. God says, I told you to scatter. God, we're not going to do that. We don't need you. We got religion. We have the impression of you. We're not going to scatter. God says, okay, but we're going to confuse this thing. So nobody will understand what the other's talking about unless you're part of that tribe. And the tribe are going to have to come together with their own people that understand one another, their own language. And according to verse 8, it says, they fulfilled what God said. Now, they wind up doing what God said, but it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't a pleasant experience. After they thought that they were going somewhere because they refused to do so. So why we have to go through all that trouble, all that mess, all that heartache, all that pain, and do what God says in the first place? Because you're going to end up doing it. It's just like receiving God in your life. To rest and rule in your life. We're going to bow down to him whether we do it or not. You're going to bow down before the throne. So why not receive him in your life today? Get it right now, because you're going to do it anyway. See, we started out with one nation under God, talking about this country. And I think, I don't know what they stopped doing it now, but I know when I was in school and Pastor Scott was in school, some of the older people here, mature people in here, were in school. We had to learn this. We said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, individual with liberty and justice for all. Y'all know that? The younger people, y'all didn't have to learn that in school, did you? So we started off with that. You know, we even went so much further than that. And after we made that confession, this country, this nation, then we had the nerve enough to put "In God We Trust" on our currency. So we started out with that. Now we, one nation away from God. As his name gets thrown up, his rule is rejected. Ending with verse 9. It says, therefore, its name was called Babel, the name of that city, because the Lord confused the language of that whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. The name Lord just keeps showing up. It wasn't the devil who confounded their languages. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. I said, why? Because the Lord will not allow men to compete with him. But he will allow you to enough success to allow you to think you are. You get a little bit of success to make you think you're going somewhere. He allow you a little bit enough success that you make you think you're rising up on your own. You can't go high without God all by yourself. Look at what I've done without God until you run out of gas. You know, it was this guy, I think a few years ago, and he was trying to go up on his own. He had tied a bunch of balloons, air balloons, gas-filled balloons, on a chair. And he enough that, and they untied him, and he began to rise. You know, God will allow us enough rope to hurt ourselves. It make us think, man, we rise, we're doing this thing on our own. I have enough money, I have enough prestige, I have enough of all this, so I'm doing this. I got the cars, and I got the house, I got the mansion that I wanted. So I'm doing this all by myself. And you're rising up and rising up, and God says, I got to check this man up because he's trying to reach heaven. And you get up so high, some say, pop, pop. Go up a little higher because the pressure changes when you go up. And you can't go up all high all by yourself, all high. In the midst of your high flying, and you will soon cry out, oh God! He's going to make you cry one way or the other. You know, there were this man of God, and he had sinners on either hand. So when God came back, and we began to rise up with him, he grabbed these two men by the collar. And as they ascended, going higher and higher and higher, they went through the first layer of clouds. They went up through the second layer of clouds. They went up to they're going to as high as they go. And then he brought them up and brought them around and looked them dead in the eye. He says, are you ready to give your life to Christ now, or shall I let go? And I bet you they gave their life to Christ. Saints, this is just a little bit of what God wants to tell us today. You can't make it on your own. You need God in your life every step of the way. I don't care how he blessed you. You know, if people are making a lot of money, you know, God blessed them with a job to do that, but they don't give him the credit. So they think that they're doing it. Seem like the richer we are, the more independent we become. But God says that's the reason why God takes his time to raise us, to mature us, before he dropped that load of money on you. Because we can't handle it. You think you can handle it, but so many has proven that wrong. I know that several people, if you have gone through the history of people with that won the lottery, you went back to them, I think a year or so later, and they said they wished they had never won it. It's a lot of trouble. It's a lot of responsibility. It gets in your mind, gets in your head, and you think you're all of that in a bag of chips. But God says, continue to stay in him. Continue to let him even raise you step by step. He's going to raise you high. He said, Lord, I thank you for this promotion. Setting you up, and you handle that good, he has another promotion for you. You handle that good and starts giving him glory and honor and praise. He'll keep. God does that raising, the elevating, not us. It's not our own wisdom. It's not anything that we hear. The wisdom and knowledge that you have comes from God to cause you to get the promotions and the elevations that you need, that you want, that you desire. He says, I'm a God. I love you, and I give you desires of your heart. So every step of the way, wherever he takes you, just follow him. Heavenly Father,